And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Heavenly Father, thank you for this hour, and for the fun, and the singing, and the happiness, and the offering, and the amens, and the praise of the Lord, and the glory to God's, and the hallelujahs, and the clapping, and all the time we've had. And now we come to the preaching of thy word. I pray it'll be in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, as it was in days of old. Sanctify, I pray, and set apart this service to the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I want everybody all over the building to give me your attention just for a few moments. We're a little later than usual, of course, and I'll not be as lengthy as I usually am on a Sunday night. But I want everybody to listen to me very, very carefully. Everybody in the house. Father, bless this next few minutes, and may, in the name of Christ, every one of us leave this building sure, assured in our souls that our names are written in heaven. And now quieten us for these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. I would not, if I could, return to the old meetings where we had the kerosene lamps that flanked me tonight. I have preached many a sermon by the light of a kerosene lamp when it wasn't a joke. I preached many a sermon under a tent where the sinners came to Christ. They walked down sawdust or down across straw and knelt at a straw-strewn altar and received Christ as Savior. I would not return, if we could, to the old-fashioned inconveniences. But in spite of what the modern seminaries say, in spite of what the modern preachers say, the message has not changed. Everything that was true 50 years ago is true today. Light fixtures change, and seating arrangements change, and architecture changes, but truth never changes. It's always the same. And so, if there was a heaven, if there was a heaven in Grandpa's day, there's a heaven today. And if there was a hell that had fire 100 years ago, there's a hell that has fire tonight. You got to get born again then, you got to get born again now, and it never changes. There's a legend that says, and of course it is not true, I cannot prove it, but it may have been something like this. There's a legend that says that back yonder many, many generations ago, when man was created and man fell, and the promise of the cross came from the lips of the Savior, and the Word of God declared the coming of the Messiah. It is, a legend says that the demons had a meeting with Lucifer. And Lucifer called for all the demons of hell to come to a great convention. Lucifer said, I want to do something to keep man from being saved. As you know, Jesus is going to come. And as you know, he's going to be born of a virgin. We all know that. And as you know, he's going to live a perfect life in spite of what we try to do. And as you know, he's going to go to the cross. And there on the cross, he's going to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. And as you know, he's going to be buried for 72 hours. And after 72 hours, he's going to rise from the dead. And then there will be a gospel. Now he said to all the little demons, I want to know what we can do to keep man from believing. One little demon said, I tell you what I want to do. I want to start a campaign to make men believe the Bible is not the Word of God. And brother, anytime anybody ever cast any reflection upon the accuracy and the inspiration, verbal inspiration of this Bible, I'll guarantee you he was inspired by demons. I'll guarantee you. I don't care if he's got a reverend in front of his name. He has a clerical collar on. I don't care what school he's been to. He's of the devil if he says that the Bible is not verbally inspired by God. But the devil said, that's a good idea. But there's something I think even better than that we could think of. We'll use that. But there ought to be other plans, too. One little demon raised his hand and said, Lucifer, I'd like to make a suggestion. I'd like to suggest that we go down on earth and we go in the seminaries and colleges and behind the pulpit, and let's make the preachers believe that there's no virgin birth of Christ. And let's make them believe, because if they're intellectual, they'll believe that there's no sinless life of Christ and that Christ is not the Son of God. Let's lead them to believe that. Well, the devil said, oh, yes, we'll do that. And by the way, any preacher or any Christian that does not believe, turn the lights out in the hallway, please. Turn the lights out in the hallway. Does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is the virgin-born Son of God, is of the evil one. But the devil said, that's good. We'll use that method. We'll use it. But now, there ought to be some other method. And one little demon said, okay, I've got a suggestion too. I'd like to suggest that we go down on earth, we paint sin as attractive as we can. Let's call a man that drinks liquor a man of distinction. And let's have beautiful women committing sin on the television screen. And let's make it attractive. And let's try to convince men that sin is more fun than salvation. And living in sin is more fun than accepting the gospel. And the demons agreed, that's a wonderful thing to do. And the devil said, we'll use that too. We'll go down and try to convince men the Bible is not the Word of God. We'll go down and try to convince men there's no virgin birth, no sinless life, no vicarious death, no bodily resurrection. And we'll do that. We'll also go down, as you suggested, Mr. Demon, and we'll paint sin to be beautiful and attractive. We'll make the gospel look drab. We'll try to make people think it's more fun to take dope than it is not to take dope. We'll try to make men think it's more fun to drink than it is to abstain. We'll try to make men think it's more fun to nightclub and disco and country club and eat, drink, be merry. And we'll paint it like it is. And by the way, there's not a single thing in this world as veneered as sin is. There's not one single thing in this world as made as attractive, and I'll guarantee you, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. And the devil said, that's a good idea. We'll make sin appear to be more fun. But he said, we want other ideas too. So, one little demon said, I've got an idea. Let's go down on earth, and let's try to get the seminaries and the churches and preachers and colleges to teach that there's no heaven. If there's no heaven, folks won't need to get saved, and let's teach them there's no hell. But there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And if this Bible's true, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. And if this Bible is true, those on the left hand will be cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And if this Bible is true, those not found written in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. If this Bible is true, they will be cast into the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Well, you say, I don't believe in hell. You will within 10 seconds after you die. I'll guarantee you, you don't believe in it. And the devil said, that's a good idea. We'll do all those things. We'll go down and make them disbelieve the Bible. We'll go down and spread the word there's no virgin birth, sinless life, vicarious death, bodily resurrection. We'll go down and tell them sin is more fun. And we'll go down and tell them there's no heaven and there's no hell. One little demon back in the back kept waving his hand. I've got an idea. I've got an idea. And the Lucifer said, and what is your idea? The little demon said, let's go down and let's tell them that there is a virgin birth. And let's tell them that the Bible is true. And let's tell them that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And let's tell them that Jesus is the Savior. And let's tell them that Jesus went to Calvary. And let's tell them that he was virgin born. And let's tell them they lived a perfect life. And let's tell them that he died on the cross. And let's tell them they rose again after 3 days and 3 nights. But let's tell them that they ought to get saved, but not now. Not now. Tell them to wait. Not now. And the devil said, oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. But one little demon raised his hand back in the back and said, I've got an idea. Let me tell you my idea. The devil called on him and said, what's your idea? And he said, I know what let's do.
Let's go down and make our people look like saved people. Let's go down and have folks to walk down an aisle but not really trust Christ as Savior. And let's put in the choirs of the churches tares that look like wheat, that talk like wheat, that sing like wheat, that act like a Christian, that sing like a Christian, and look like a Christian, and go to church like a Christian, and get baptized like a Christian, but they're not really born again. And let's put them there, and we'll make them think they're saved, we'll make them think they're going to heaven, but they've not been born again, and as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit tonight, there are hundreds of people in this room who are placed here by the evil one, and you look like a child of God, and you sing like a child of God, and you carry your Bible like a child of God, and you're separated like a child of God, and you've been baptized like a child of God, and you take communion like a child of God, and you go to Sunday school like a child of God, but you know, and I know, and God knows in heaven that you have not been born of the Spirit of God Almighty. And the little devil said, let's put them in the choir. And let's put them on deacon boards. And let's put them in Sunday school classes. And let's put them on the faculty of Christian schools. And let's put them in the pews of our churches. Right beside one who's been born again, let's have one who's not been born again. Right beside one in the choir who's been born again, let's place a tare that looks like a child of God and would not want to admit she was not a child of God. And he would not want to admit he's not been born again because it'd be embarrassing. And nobody will ever suspect it all. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Thy God knoweth whether your name is written in heaven or not. Thy God knoweth whether you're born again or not. Thy God knoweth whether you're his child or not. And all the demons in hell could not let me spend 5 seconds not knowing that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know that I've been born of the Spirit of God. Now, the devil said, that's the best one of all. Oh, that's good. We will go down and tell them the Bible's not so. And we will go down and tell them that there's no heaven and no hell. And some will go to hell that way. And we will go down and tell them that sin is more fun than righteousness. And some will go to hell that way. And we will go down and tell them there's no virgin birth and no sinless life and no vicarious death. And some will go to hell that way. But the crowning blow and the highest work of art, of demonic art in all of the universe, here, when the devil causes one to go through the motions, he's walked down the aisle. His name has been read before the people. He's been baptized in the baptistry. He's sat at the communion table. He has been in Sunday school. He's sung in the choir. He's been on the deacon board. He has been a Sunday school teacher. He sings the songs of God. He comes to church on Sunday morning. He comes to church on Sunday night. He comes to church on Wednesday night. Reads his Bible every day and offers some kind of prayer to God. But there's never been a time or place in his life where he knew he was a sinner and knew the condemnation of God was on sinners and knew that Jesus came to fulfill the law of God and die in our place, and who received sincerely the Christ of Calvary and the Calvary of Christ as their hope for heaven. And tonight, I'll say this. I don't preach like this very often, but I feel as a pastor, I need occasionally to remind you, you've got to get born again to go to heaven. It is not by the will of flesh, nor the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. And nobody will walk the golden streets because he's a Baptist. And nobody will walk the golden streets because he does some good deeds. And nobody will walk a golden streets because he sings in the choir. And nobody will go to glory because he's a deacon. And nobody will go to heaven because he teaches in a Christian school. And nobody will go to heaven because he's a ministerial student or a student in a Christian college. Only those will go to heaven who have been born again by the Spirit of Almighty God in response to the knowledge of salvation and faith in what Christ did on the cross. Now, I want you to notice something. Several somethings about this parable. I want you to notice this. That he places the tares with the wheat. He didn't say, let's make a church full of tares. No, he said, let's place the tares with the wheat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a tare is not an unsaved person in a liberal church. A tare is not an unsaved person in a liberal seminary. The tare is placed among the wheat. And the tare, two members sing in the choir, one's wheat, one's tare. Two men sit on the deacon board. One wheat and one's a tare. Two men sit together in teacher's meeting. One's wheat and one's a tare. A couple sits together in church tonight. One member of the couple is wheat and the other is tare. A couple sings a duet maybe in a church somewhere. One's wheat and one is tare. A couple go soul winning together. One's wheat and one is tare. God says that the devil places the tares among the wheat. There are no tares down here in these churches on Liberal Road. They're all unsaved. They haven't got any wheat down there. And they don't have to look like it. But in a church like this, listen, the devil knows. If he can get you to come here and look like everybody else and sing like everybody else and say amen like everybody else and enjoy it like everybody else and go to Christian school like everybody else and be a part of the service like everybody else, the devil knows if he can get you to do that, it'd be embarrassing for you to stand up and say, I've never been born again. I've never honestly and earnestly been born again. The devil knows. It'd be awful hard for you to do that. And so he places the tares with the wheat in the choir together, on the deacon board together, in a Sunday school class together, on a Christian school faculty together, in the pew together, not in the liberal churches, but he places the tares with the wheat. I want to notice something else. They said, shall we go and take the tares from the wheat? And the master said, no, sir, you don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. Listen, probably the person in this room tonight who is not wheat but a tare might be the least likely person in this room for us to know. Now, if I picked out somebody that's a tare, I'd say that rascal never comes to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I'd say that rascal that doesn't tithe. I'd say that rascal that lives a world of life. But my Bible says that the tares look like the wheat, and nobody but the angels and God know that they're tares. I want you to notice this. They're placed there while men slept. And ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to sleep. I refuse to let a year go by without me reminding my people, you've got to get born again to go to heaven. You're not a Christian because you're a Baptist. You're not a Christian because you walk down the aisle. You're not a Christian because you got confirmed one day. You're not a Christian because somebody sprinkled some water on your bald head when you were 6 days old. You're not a Christian because you took a little juice and ate a little piece of wafer. You're not a Christian because you got in the baptistry. You're only a Christian if you trust in Christ. You knew you were a sinner. You knew you were lost. You knew Jesus died for sinners. And by believing faith, you look to Him in response to that. The regenerating power of the Holy Spirit made you a new person in Christ. While men slept, wake up, deacon. 10,000 times rather admit you're an unsaved deacon now than standing before God when it's too late. Wake up, Sunday school teacher. 10,000 times rather admit you're not a born-again believer now. Admit you're a tare now. Someday when you stand before God Almighty and the whole universe is there, and God calls your name and you stand before God and God says, lost! And you say, but dear God, I taught a Sunday school class, but He says you weren't born again. But dear God, you understand, I sat on the deacon board. I was on the deacon board for years. I had a part in building the buildings. I had a part in the purchasing of the college property. I had a part in the building of Baptist City. My name's on the deacon board. God says, that doesn't make a hoot, brother. Is your name in this book? That's all that matters. Is your name in the book of life? God says, while men slept, wake up, faithful member, wake up! Deacon, wake up! Howells Anderson College student, wake up! Student's wife, wake up! You're a tare tonight. I'm not going to sleep till everybody in this room is reminded of salvation by grace through faith in the work of Calvary. Note something else. It says they grow together. Now listen carefully. They grow together. Didn't say they stay together. They grow together. That means that the tares look like they're growing in grace. They read their Bible more, just like the wheat does, as it grows in grace. And they grow together. Doesn't say they stay together. They grow together. And the tare decides to pray more, just like the wheat does. And the prayer gives up smoking, just like the wheat does. And the tare gives up drinking just like the wheat does. And the tare may decide, if it's a female tare, to dress like a woman ought to dress, just like the wheat does. And the tare may decide, if it's a male tare, to have his hair cut, just like the wheat does. And the tare may decide to come to church and go soul winning, just like the wheat does. But just because Judas Iscariot was on the board for Jesus didn't mean he was on the roll of heaven. Just because he's one of the 12 didn't mean he's one of the redeemed. They grow together. They learn the Bible together. They learn great truths together. They sit in the service together. They learn to pray together. They become separated together. They try to walk with God together. They make holy vows together. They give up sin together. But one's a tare and the other is wheat. Notice something else. We are not to gather them. It's not our job. We're not to even point them out. Boy, I'll tell you what. There, fellow there, I doubt if he's been born again. That's not your business. We're not to gather them. I don't know who you are. I'll guarantee you this. If we guess tonight, if I told you there were 10 tares in this section right here, I'll guarantee you not a one of them would be guessed. I'll guarantee you. I'll guarantee you the devil is such a good artist, he'll make you look so real that nobody would guess you're a tare. Let them go together. We don't know who they are. Only the angels know. And I'll guarantee you tonight, if the devil placed 25 tares in this section right here, I'll guarantee you, if we voted on who they are, I'll guarantee you not a single one of them would get a vote. Because the devil has made them look like the best Christians in the church. And the devil has made them look like the most dedicated, yielded, separated Christians in the church. Now, listen, brother, I'm not trying to scare you. You've been born again. But I 10,000 times, brother, scare you and get you to heaven and take a chance on you being a tare in a church like this and sitting beside the wheat and singing with the wheat and reading the Bible with the wheat and going soul winning with the wheat. And then someday you die and go to hell. Brother, I'll guarantee you this. When the roll of God is called, the roll is called, and the names are read, and you stand before God, not a single person in this church can say to me, Brother House, you've got bloody hands. Brother, if there was a church where this message of grace is preached and the love of God is preached and folks are warned about hell, it's here. Now tonight I come and say, if you go to hell from this church roll, you can't point your bloody finger out of hell at me and say, I didn't warn you. But you say, preacher, what would my wife think if I admitted I were there? What will she think at the great white throne when you'll never see her again? But preacher, what would my friends think if I was exposed as not being saved tonight? What will they think when you stand before God at the great white throne judgment and cast into the torments of hell and you'll never see them again? We're not together them. We don't know who they are. You can fool me. And by the way, every tare here will fool me. Christian people ought not ever to say, you think he's really saved? Don't you say that. You don't know who's really saved. I tell you what, I bet he's not even saved. Don't you talk like that. You don't know who they are. And I'll guarantee you, brother, if the disciples had voted on a tare, Judas Iscariot would have been the last person they voted on. They trusted him so much, they made him the treasure of the group. He was one of the most respected, if not the most respected. I dare you. Not anything negative. Now, Peter cursed and swore. Judas Iscariot never did. John and James wanted the best seats in the house. Judas Iscariot never did. And brother, in this room tonight, scattered in this section up here, in the darkness of that section, there are people up there tonight whose names are not written in heaven, and you know they're not, and you've not been born again, and you know it. Your name is on the church roll. You've splashed in the pond. You've taken the Lord's Supper table. But if you died right now, you don't know you'd go to heaven. And let me tell you, it's not worth whatever price you've got to pay. It's not worth anything, brother, to live 1 5-second period not knowing that your name is written in heaven. And right up here in this section, there are those, and there are those here, and there are those up here, and those over here, and there are those back in this corner, all over the great center section, and back in this corner, and yes, even in the choir. I'll guarantee you, there are deacons on the deacon board of First Baptist Church who are not born again. If there are 1 out of 12 on Jesus' board, probably 1 out of 117 on our board. I'll guarantee you, there are folks sitting behind me in the choir tonight. They're good people. They're faithful. They even love the Bible, and they pray. And they go, so will he. But the devil has placed them there, and he puts them there, and they don't want to admit it. But there are folks in the choir, and I don't know who they are, but they're there because the devil puts the tares with the wheat, whose names are not written in heaven. And I don't know your excuse for not coming clean with God, but I'll guarantee it's not worth it. I want you to notice something else. It says, wait until the harvest. Wait until the harvest. Harvest is coming. We'll know at the rapture. You can jump all you want to jump, buddy, but if you're not saved, you're not going up. You can pole vault 17 feet toward glory, but you won't get any higher than that. At the harvest. What's the harvest time? When the harvest, the rapture, the main harvest comes, and the trumpet of God sounds, and time shall be no more, and Jesus descends the sky, and the dead shall be raised in Christ, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Meet the Lord dead. You'll be found out then, buddy. You'll be found, and by the way, as soon as that trumpet sounds, I don't care how many times you cry to God, you'll not be saved. You run down to the church house after Jesus comes again, run down to the church house, walk down this altar, and he won't meet you here. Brother, if you've heard the gospel one time in your life, and you've heard it, and you're going to hear it now, if you've heard the gospel one time in your life, I'll guarantee you, when the rapture takes place, you will be sent strong delusion. And you'll believe a lie, and your last chance to be saved is gone, and your eternity is sealed, and your hell is determined. Until the harvest. Dr. Walter Wilson, famous preacher and doctor for years in this country, called the name of an evangelist. He wasn't as famous as Billy Sunday, but he was nationally known. I was sitting at the dinner table with Walter Wilson one day, and he said, Dr. Hiles, and I should not say Walter Wilson, I should say Dr. Wilson, or Brother Wilson, he's many years older than I, he's in heaven now. He said, Dr. Hiles, I want to tell you a story. He called the name of an evangelist. I do not know why he chose to share this with me, but he called the name of this evangelist, and if I called his name, 99% of the folks in this room would know it. He said, Brother Hiles, when that man came to die, he called me to his bedside. Looked up at me and said, Walter, I've been preaching for many years, but I'm going to hell. I'm dying and going to hell. Walter, I've preached revival campaigns and thousands have been saved because of my ministry, but I'm dying and I'm going to hell. Walter, I wanted you to know that I have been an ordained preacher for many decades, but I'm dying and going to hell. Walter Wilson said, listen, why don't you turn to Christ now? He said, it's too late, Walter. I'm dying and going to hell. Walter Wilson begged him to trust Christ. He said, it's too late, Walter. I'm dying. I'm going to hell. But do it now. There's still time. You're alive. Do it now. It's too late, Walter. I'm dying and going to hell. And hell is full of deacons. And hell is full of choir members. And hell is full of ordained preachers. And hell is full of pastors. And hell is full of church members. And hell is full of communion takers. And hell is full of confirmed people. And hell is full of baptized babies. And hell is full of people who lived the life, talked the life, sang the life, but never did have the precious Holy Spirit inside in the miracle of regeneration. It's full of them. Because the tares are grow among the wheat, but they'll be known at the harvest. I recall one night I was preaching Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, and all of a sudden the piano stopped playing. I couldn't understand why. Looked over and the pianist was leaving the seat. And Mrs. Dorothy Lyons walked out and said, Preacher, I'm a church member and have been for years, but I'm not saved. I recall years ago, 1956 I think it was, I was preaching my first Sword of the Lord conference at Lake Louise, Georgia. I preached one night. I finished preaching an old, white-haired man came up and said, Dr. Howells, can I talk with you? He did talk with me. And then the next morning I woke up, he was outside my room. He told me his pastor of a rather large church had been for years. He's up in years. Every place I went that day, he said, could I just follow you? I don't want to get away from you. I won't bother you. I won't talk to you. I just want to follow you. And that old white-haired man followed me all day that day. That night he followed me to the dining hall. Didn't sit with me, sat behind, but followed me everywhere I went. I was there for much of the week. Next morning, got up, and that old white-haired man followed me again. He said, I won't bother you now, and I won't talk to you, and I won't be in your way. Let me just follow you. I don't guess I was ever over 10 feet away from that man. He was within 10 feet of me all during that week. I started to leave. The old man came and said, Dr. Howells, before you leave, I want to ask you something. And I said, what is it? He said, I followed you all week because I wanted to find out if you're real. He said, I'm convinced that you are. Now he said, here it is. I've been preaching the gospel of Christ for several decades. Now I'm an old white-haired man. I've never told my wife this. I've never told my people this. And to go back home and tell them, I may lose my church. But he said, Dr. Howells, I may lose my church, but I'm not going to lose my soul. He said, my name is not written in heaven, and I know it. I have Reverend beside my name, but that name is not in heaven. I have my name on the church roll, but not in heaven. I have my name on the license to preach, but it's not written in heaven. I have it on the ordination paper, but not in heaven. It's on the church stationery, but not in heaven. He said, Dr. Hyde, would you come down beside the lake, and would you tell me how I can know that if I died, I'd go to heaven? And that preacher and I went down together, and he was sweetly and happily and marvelously converted. Went back to his church the next Sunday morning, stood up before his people, and said, folks, you've had a pastor who's not been saved, but this week at Lake Louise, Georgia, I received Christ as my Savior for the first time in my life. I can stand behind this pulpit and I can tell you I'm born again. I'll sing it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow. For I've been born again. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter what kind of church you've got. Are you born again? Doesn't matter what kind of how much money you've got. Are you born again? Doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. It's are you born again? Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. Have you been born again? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. You say, preacher, how may I know? Let's go back to that day you walked the aisle for a minute. Let's go back to that morning or night when you walked the aisle. Or let's go back to that moment that you point to your salvation experience. Let me ask you something. I'm not asking you first, did you pray? That doesn't matter. I'm not asking you, did you cry? That doesn't matter. I'm not asking you how you felt or did you feel? That doesn't matter. I want to ask you four things. Hear me carefully. Your soul may depend, and your heaven or hell may depend on what I'm asking about now. Number one, did you know you were a sinner? Nobody's ever saved unless he has a sin question put before him. Did you know you were a sinner? Did you know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Did you know there's none righteous, no, not one? Did you know there's none that doeth good, no, not one? Did you know if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us? Did you know that all we like sheep have gone astray and we turned everyone to his own way? Did you know that? Did you know it? If you did not know that you were a sinner, there's no way in this world that you can be born again. No way in this world, because sin is what brings death. And sin is what caused the curse of God upon men and caused man to be separated from God Almighty. I ask you a simple question. Did you know you were a sinner? Number two, did you know that because of your sins, you were condemned to eternity without hope? Did you know you were under the condemnation of God? Did you know the wages of sin is death? Did you know that sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death? Did you know? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I don't care whether you yodeled or hollered. I don't care whether you knelt or stood. I don't care if you ran or crawled. That's not it. We sing sometimes, I was there when it happened and ought to know. That doesn't satisfy me. I was saved because I felt it. Brother, I felt something I never felt before. That doesn't satisfy me. I was saved because electricity went in my ears and out my hands. That doesn't satisfy me. I ask you, did you know you were a sinner? And did you know that because of your sins you were under the condemnation of God Almighty? This is what the old-timers preached. This is what they preached in the sawdust, on the sawdust trail. This is what they preached under tents. This is the message that came from the kerosene lamps and lanterns. Gee, Mas! Be born again! That's the message that came. I ask you number three. Did you know that Jesus Christ bore your sins and paid the penalty for your sins? Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus was born a virgin, lived a perfect life, and went to Calvary and became your substitute and was buried and rose again after 3 days and three? Did you know that? Did you know it? Did you? I didn't say, did you know the Baptist church was a good church? I didn't say, did you know the priest could resolve sins? He can't do it. He can't resolve his own, much less yours. Did you know? Did you know? Did you know that you were a sinner? This is the old Roman road. Did you know that sinners are under the condemnation of God? Did you know that? And did you know that the virgin-born sinless Son of God came on the cross of Calvary? He paid the penalty as your sacrifice and as your substitute. If you just walk down the aisle and said, I want Jesus to come into my heart, you've got to know what Jesus coming into your heart's all about. Number four, did you trust Him and Him alone to take you to heaven? Did you with your own will say, I will rely upon that plan of redemption, take me to heaven? What plan? That I'm a sinner. And that because I'm a sinner, I'm under the condemnation and wrath of God. But that Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God clothed upon with human flesh, came to the world, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose after 72 hours for my justification. Did you know? Did you know? It's not did you feel, it's did you know. I do not want to lead anybody tonight to doubt because you didn't feel. You don't have to feel. But brother, you've got to know. You've got to know that you are a sinner. You must know, have known that sinners were under the condemnation of God. You must have known that Jesus Christ bore your sins and became your condemnation. You've got to know that if you would, by your own will, choose Christ and what He did for you as your hope for heaven, did you know those four things? Did you know? Now, how does it happen? Here's how it happens. Somebody goes to church. They hear a sermon. And happened in this room. This story was reenacted to people all over this room, all over this country. You went to church and you heard the gospel, or you heard a message that made you want to receive Christ, and you walked down the aisle and some poor, untrained soul stuck a card under your nose and said, fill this out. Brother, sister, you didn't need a card under your nose. You need an altar under your knees. Now, you don't have to kneel to get saved. But, brother, when a person walks down the aisle, and what happened? Somebody gave you a card and said, are you? And you said, yes. And you filled out that card, or they filled it out for you, and nobody ever told you that you were a sinner, and nobody ever told you that sinners are lost, and nobody told you that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sinners, and nobody told you that trusting Him and Him alone gets you to heaven, and you didn't know it. You were sincere. You had a conviction. You meant to do it. And if somebody would have told you about it, may God have mercy on these churches all over this land that never take the Word of God at the altar and show people redeeming grace and show folks what God's plan of redemption really is. Or it may have happened like this. Some eager parents who loved you so much they did not want to take a chance. It may be that they pressured you, and I'm not saying that children can't be saved, but sometimes eager parents in a desire to get all the family saved or in a desire to be able to win the child of Christ leads a child to make a decision to walk an aisle and get baptized, but that child did not know he was a sinner. Maybe that's your situation. Maybe in an effort to please a preacher, you walk the aisle. Or to please mom, or please dad, Or maybe because somebody else walked the aisle. Maybe you were a teenager or a youngster and one of your friends walked the aisle and you thought you'd do the same thing. Note this. The tares will be known. They will be known. The day will come when the doctor will walk out to the waiting family and say, I did all I could. And the family embraces each other. And they walk in and pull a sheet over your corpse. I'll guarantee you, brother, it won't matter then what church you join. It won't matter what baptism you're baptized with. All that will ever matter, was there a time and was there a place when you knew that you were a sinner and you knew that you were lost and you knew that Jesus Christ, the virgin-born sinless Son of God, died for you and bore your sins and rose again. And you trusted Him and Him alone as your hope for heaven and relied upon what He did, not on what you do, the church does, the Baptist does, the Pope does, priest does, preacher does, or the deacons do. You just trusted Christ and Him alone. But it's too late now. The sheet is pulled up over your face and the family is calling the undertaker and your soul has gone to hell and you're burning in hell. You didn't plan it that way, but you were a tare. You never got born again. Your name wasn't written in heaven. You were a tare. And brother, sister, you'll burn right beside the bootleggers. You will burn right beside the pimps. For the bootlegger is not in hell because he's a bootlegger. The bootlegger is in hell because he didn't receive Christ. And the pimp's not in hell because he was a pimp. He's in hell because he did not get born again. And you'll burn beside the pimp and the harlot. You'll burn beside the bootlegger. You'll burn beside the drunk. You'll burn beside the dope addict. You'll burn beside the murderer. You'll burn beside the liar. You'll burn beside the bank robber. You'll burn beside the incest, one who commits incest. Yes, you will. Why? Because you were too proud to say, I'm a tare. I'm a tare. And you'll be in hell, falling and burning and screaming. And crying with Dives for a drop of water to cool your tongue. And you'll be there how many years? I don't know. And finally one day while you're tossing and burning and screaming and begging for exit, the door will open. And you'll look up and say, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. The door's open. I paid my price. I can leave! And you will leave. And you'll be raised from the torments of hell. And you'll say, oh, thank God. No more burning. No more falling. No more out of darkness. No more separation from love. But thank God! Thank God! And then you will see a throne. And on that throne you will see the one with nails in his hands and feet. You will see the one, the Christ of Calvary, whose feet walk the shores of Galilee. You will see the lovely face of your Savior, and He's sitting on that throne. And then your name is called, and you stand before that throne, on whom sits the Son of God Himself. The book of life is opened, and the Savior asks, is your name in the book? But Jesus, you don't understand it. I was a deacon at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, biggest church in America. But is your name in the book? Jesus, listen, I ushered there Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I loved that church for the house of my preacher. I got baptized by him, Brother Colston, Brother Moffat. And look, we baptized more converts any church in America ever has. But is your name in this book? Now look, Jesus,
I've been in hell for several thousand years, 100 years. I've been burning down there. I've paid my dues.
Is your name in the book? Jesus, you understand it.
I was baptized there in that baptistry one Sunday morning or Sunday night.
And I baptized, and I took communion. And I went soul winning. But is your name in the book?
Look, Jesus, you understand. I paid my tithes every Sunday morning or Sunday night.
And I'd give 10% of all I ever made. But is your name in the book?
Jesus, you understand this. Now, wait, hold it there, Jesus. Look, I went to college at Hiles Anderson College.
And I sat in class, and I sat in chapel, and I was going to go out and serve God full time, but is your name in the book?
Jesus, you understand this, Jesus. Now, hold it. Is your name, but Jesus, now listen. Look, you know what I did on Christmas? I took little children, and I bought little shoes for bare feet. And I put clothes on cold bodies and bought coats for little children. And I took presents and a nice meal to people that didn't have any Christmas. Jesus, don't understand this, but him and I, Jesus, listen to me. I didn't have much money. I gave my money away, Jesus. Jesus, now look.
But is your name in the book? Is your name in the book? But Jesus, wait a minute. Wait, hold it. Jesus, I read the Bible every night. I get on my knees beside my bed and pray. I even went soul winning. I belonged to the foster club or the fisherman's club. Or I went, ladies, soul winning. Look, Jesus, I went out and won folks to Christ. But is your name in the book? That's all that's going to matter. Is your name in the book?
But Jesus, I don't want to go down there again. I don't want to go down there again.
The Savior whose blood you trampled because of your pride, because you were not willing to stand up and say, I have not been born again. And because of your pride, you trampled His precious blood under your feet. He'll hold out those nail-scarred hands that you rejected and say, bind Him hand and foot and cast Him into outer darkness. They don't make the gold piece worth 5 seconds of wondering if you're saved. They don't make enough pride or honor to wonder 5 seconds if you're saved. They don't make enough fun in the heathen world to trade 5 seconds of gambling your soul over. I ask you a question tonight. I ask you a question. Most of you are good members of this church. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying, unless I can scare you to keep from going to hell. I just looked you square in the eyeball tonight and I just asked you as members of the church that I've pastored for a quarter of a century. Did you know you were a sinner? Did you know you were lost and condemned? Did you know that Jesus was the virgin-born Son of God who paid your penalty for you on Calvary and rose again for your justification? And did you trust Him totally and Him alone? And if tonight I were to say to you, come, one at a time, stand behind this platform and tell me and tell these people of the place that you received Christ. You might not know the date on the calendar. You might not know the time of day. I could not tell you the date of the month when I was saved. I could not tell you the exact hour or minute, but I know it was on a Sunday night in August, just outside the back door of the Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, when I knelt as a junior lad and said, Dear Jesus, if you'd take me, I'll take you. And I knew to take Him meant that I was a sinner and that I was lost and on my way to hell. And that Jesus went to Calvary and after having lived a virgin-born and perfect life, paid my penalty and rose again after 3 days and 3 nights. And I said, Dear Jesus, if you'll take me, I'll take you. And I took Him, and He took me. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad.
happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sin. If you don't have one, get one. Get one.
Don't walk out the doors in the darkness of the night not knowing that you're wheat. Genuine. You send Texas, genuine, real, born again. You know who you are. I don't know. I don't suspicion anybody. I don't know. But you know. And God knows. And the angels know. And nobody's going to come up and point to you and say, you better get saved. No, because we think you're saved. So no soul winner is going to go by your house. You've got less chance to get saved than a heathen out yonder in the world. No soul winner is going to knock at your door and say, I want to tell you how to be saved. You ought to get saved. Because we think you're saved. Nobody's going to come to you during invitation and put their arms of love on your around your shoulder and say, why don't you get saved then? Nobody's going to do that because we think you're saved. Only hope you've got is for someday some preacher like me to stand up and remind you what I reminded you today. And for you to say, with the grace of God, I've lived a lie long enough. Father, I don't do this often. And I would not cause a born-again one to doubt for anything. And most of my time each year is spent giving assurance. But sometime every year I have to take a few moments just to remind my people that 'tis here the devil puts the tares. 'Tis here. They look like the Christians. And I pray tonight a sense of reality shall grip this room. Our heads are bowed.